Exodus chapter 32, from verse 1 to 6. Exodus 32, from verse 1 to 6. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morning on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And also, can I have some volunteers? Don't shout. It's not to praise the name of the Lord. That's okay. Praise the name of the Lord. We have been looking at the errors that led to the making of the gold calf. Today we want to look at one error which many made and which will open us up to a new area as we consider this particular incident as it concerns Israel in the wilderness. We saw that, at least we've seen two thus far, that they tied their salvation, their deliverance to a man, not to God. We know that that can be catastrophic, because when you don't see the man, then you go about doing the things that you think you should be doing. Secondly, which is what we looked at, I think, last week or so, they believe knowledge, they believe in their knowledge based on facts, based on inferences, rather than the revelation of God, based on intimacy with God. There are some that we will just run through, we're not going to consider them in some detail. The third one, the error of majority rules. The error of majority rules is the error that says that democracy is the best system of government. Nothing can be further from the truth. It is a maxim, it's an error that says, if everyone is doing it, it must be right. Majority say, let's do this, everyone say, let's do it, because it is majority. That has never been God's style. It's an error. Church is never run based on democracy. It's never run based on popular opinion. The word of God is not based on popular opinion or what many people are saying. I'm sure you have heard people say, this is the same. The voice of the people is the voice of God. That is a major error. The voice of the people have never been the voice of God. If God is going to speak to people, He speaks through one man. He has never spoken through the majority. He's always spoken through minority. Another error that we're not going to look at in detail is the error of feelings. The error of feelings. The people, when they saw the God, when they saw the molten calf, said, Wow, this is it. If it feels good, it must be God. Because it feels good, it must be God. If the music feels good, it is anointed. If the message feels good, it is anointed. If it doesn't feel good, we have to question where it's coming from. You can never, in fact, your feelings are the worst things to depend on, because they have nothing to do with the Spirit of God. People say, I felt goose pimple when he said that thing. It doesn't mean anything, because they have caught a cold. The body may have just been reacting to change, certain change in temperature, as a result of something happening. It doesn't mean that that message came any amount. The man of God said, we have good people when they announced Barack Obama as the president of the United States of America. Have good people. What does that mean? Does it mean that God said that? What sort of good people mean? People can't good people without even hearing it. Error of feelings. Then there's the error of worship. If it is worshipped and it accepts that worship, it must be God. Okay. If there's anything that we know, the devil delights in worship. In fact, he will give anything for us to worship him. He will allow us to create anything that he can fit into so that we can bow and worship him. That's why one of the greatest idols in the world today is money. Because people are worshiping money. Believers and unbelievers alike. Men will wake up early in the morning and dash their offices, not because they are conscientious, but because they don't want to lose that job. People will give up serving God to rush for a meeting and close a deal. Not because that deal is open, because of what they are going to get as a result of the deal. Believers will be involved in all kinds of things just because they want to make money. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you. The error of worship. The Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, he said to her in John chapter 4, I believe it's verse 19, and there about 17 or so, he said to her, he said, you Samaritans, you worship what you don't know. Paul spoke of it on the mass day. He said, you guys have erected a plate to the unknown God. People are worshiping what they don't know. We worship the God. The fact that people are gathering to worship doesn't mean that they're worshiping. I'm sure you've heard this. You've heard Muslims and other religious people say, or people of other religions say, it's the same God we are worshiping. We're not worshiping the same God. Our God does not ask people to kill. Our God does not ask people, does not tell people that he has 10,000 virgins waiting for them to come and sleep in with. That's not our God. And God is holy. God is holy and God is righteous. It's not a messenger's God. That's not the God that we serve. So the fact that people are worshipping a God does not mean that they are worshipping the same God. In the nation of Indonesia, Malaysia, the court ruled that anybody can now use the name Allah, and churches are being burned. And I was wondering, what does a Christian mean to call the name Allah? That it becomes a political issue. That churches are being burned. What do we need to call that name for? The Bible says we shouldn't even mention the names of these demons for any reason. Why is it an issue that we must be able to call a name? There's only one name we want to call. What's that name? Jesus. That's the name we are interested in. It's the name that matters. So the fact that people are worshipping something does not mean that they are worshipping God. Then there's the error of service. If I'm serving, if I'm devoted to it, oh, then God is going to do me good. It doesn't matter what I am doing. These people, the Bible says, they rose up early. That's devotion. They rose up early. There are people who are rising up early to worship the false God. The herbalist wakes up as early as 3 a.m. to purify himself. The Muslims blare their horn speakers from 4 a.m. or 4:30 a.m., waking up adherents to come and worship. The Catholics are up early to make mass at 6 a.m. while the Pentecostals are snoring. The fact that you are devotedly serving something does not mean that what you are serving is God. The fact that you are giving an offering somewhere, paying a tithe somewhere, does not mean that it's God. Those are forms. People do those things anyway. They have to collect an offering. You don't know that? Before you enter into heaven, you will put a calabash and say, drop something there. It doesn't ask you for anything. It does drop it. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, we believers, we have a lot to learn from this happens. Have you ever seen the Havanese change his house with all the money that he will bring? Have you ever seen him change his clothing? Do you see him rushing for 4x4? Because he knows that thing that these people are coming to meet him, he killed them. He doesn't go there. It's not us. And the Lord Jesus said, the children of this world die, their own generation. Why is that? The children of the king. We will give anything to gain the goods of this world and live out here. Error of service. Some will sweep the house of God only because they want something from God. Not because they love God. Others will come only to church. Not because they love God. But there's nothing else to do. By the way, that's not to give a pass to those who come into the service. What we're talking about here is, don't get into the error of works while relationship suffers. What is important is relationship and your service as a result of relationship. Paul said, I'm ready to spend and be spent for this gospel. Ready to spend myself for the sake of this gospel. Why? Because I love God. Not because I'm looking for something from him. I was sharing my wife last night. I said a lot of times what we are doing is where we're acting like scientists in the church. We read a scripture that says, and the people began to praise, and as they praised, God moved on their behalf and said, now let us try this experiment to see whether it will work. The people, when they did those things, were not experimenting. They didn't even know what would happen. They did it because they had a relationship with God. But if everything is so kindergarten, remember, worship must take this one. It doesn't take that form. We are lost. We are completely lost. If praise and worship does not take the form that we know. Has that started? If the pastor comes one day at 8 a.m., instead of starting with praise and worship, where even prayer says, okay, that's what our Bible says, everybody's lost. What's happening? What's pastor doing? You know what we are doing? We have entered into the era of form. It's form. It's not function. It's not a functional thing now. It's just a formality. This is the order of service. By this time, somebody can be instructed by this time, that's when the message will start. There's no need for us to be in a hurry. Remember one church that I pastored, people used to come late to that service. They'll program the time. 10 o'clock is when the message starts. Because by the time we finish praise and worship, waiting for people to come, we finish praise and worship for people to come. That's one Sunday, we went to church. We didn't even do praise. I just went up to the altar, sang one or two choruses. Let's open our Bibles to this. The workers were looking. Because it was especially the workers, there were a few people who diligently would come early. They were looking and they were looking. By the time the church began to come, we were taking off and sharing the grace. And service closed. He said, what's going on? Why? Because we always want to put numbers where so many and so so. After that day, they realized that we can't do this mass service. The error of form. Let's wake up in the morning. Let's go and pray. As long as we can bow, as long as we can give an offering, as long as we can dance, it is God. People rose up early in the morning. The offering they had not yet given to God, they were giving to an idol. And they said, this is the error of God. Then there's the error of following backsliding leaders. The error of following backsliding leaders. The leaders in Israel were completely backslidden. Aaron and the 70 elders were backsliding. For Aaron, who had seen God, to whom God had been revealed, for that same person to come and make a calf and say, this is God, and build an altar before the calf and ask people to come early the next day so that they can celebrate and worship God, that's a backsliding leader. Many of us fall into that error. If the big names say it, it is from God. So what are we doing? We are looking for churches that have big names attached to them. We are looking for churches where the crowd is going. Don't get me wrong. We also will have the crowd after some time. Don't worry about that. The crowd. But I want you to understand the principle. It's not the crowd that makes the place of the church. It's not the pastor that makes the place of the church. It's not the big name that makes the place of the church. It's God. We are two or three and gathered together in my name. I am in the midst. And then it becomes church. I want to say this, that the era of big names is over. And I say that in every sense of responsibility to the word of God. The era of big names. So, God has always been looking for one man, not one big man, not one big man. Looking for one man who will remain humble, one man who will remain holy, one man who will continue to honor God, no matter what. One man who will continue to speak the word of God in season and out of season, whether he's going to be locked up or not. One man, and for all you care, the big names, they put him down. There was a film many years ago, I think it was called, was it God? I think it was something about God, that of course was a stupid representation of God. They showed God as a man, one old man, Burns. It wasn't John Burns. What's the name of that? It's an old God. It was God, you know? And one of the, I think there were two or three parts to it. One of the series, God calls a young boy, speaks to him, and then tells him to go and meet him. So this big man was having a massive crusade in a big auditorium, and they were going to test this boy about God. These were the big men. And he went to that auditorium. When he got there, some of you remember that. I don't know, he was very, very young. He was all about the place in those days. Very, very young. He was living in the village. They cannot even do that. Okay, fine, cinemas have stopped long ago. There is a cinema, there is a cinema. And, you know, this man was on the altar with his wife and wife and was preaching. And said to him, and God has sent that boy to him. And boy, what God said, God says, and man stops everything. He says, you guys have to listen. This boy says, God has sent him to me and the other. Now, while I don't agree with the representation of God, but I guarantee God can send anyone to anyone. The man is misbehaving, God can do that. I'm sure you know that the human sense and us to speak to a prophet when he was going back. Error of falling backsliding in this. That's why one thing that must be our prayer is the Word of God, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. These things must be our companion. The Holy Spirit must be our companion. His Word must be our companion. So that as people are preaching and speaking, they may not open the Bible. It doesn't mean what matters most is, are they speaking the Word of God? The Spirit of God was able to bear witness with your spirit that this is the Word of God. The Scriptures must support that what they are saying is the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, 20-21, that no passage of Scripture or prophecy is subject to private interpretation. No man can come and say, this is what I say, and his own is the only one. It is what God says. Finally, the error that we are going to look at today, the error of God. Since God is not saying anything, then it is okay. God is saying nothing, it is okay. Go to a party, come back, go to church, you don't hear a simple message that tells you that what you did yesterday was sin, so what you are doing is okay. You rose up from the bed of adultery, and you didn't die 1 week, 2 weeks, nothing happened. You continue to do it, and you continue to go to church, and nothing happened. It's okay. God has said nothing. That's the one error that destroys a man. Because not only does it lead him to make the gold calf, it leads him to continue to worship it. Because God has said nothing. This morning, I want to share with us very briefly on a sub-theme I have titled, The Silence of God. The Silence of God. Now we're looking at the silence of God in relation to the gold calf. The making of the gold calf. Psalm 50, from verse 16 to 22. Psalm 50, 16 to 22. But unto the wicked, now God has been speaking to his people, he spoke to them generally. That's where he said to them, the cattle of 1,000 hills in the mine, if I was hungry, I wouldn't speak to anyone, I'll go and eat whatever I want to eat, and I'll be okay. And then says to the people, you offer your thanks to me, and when you call on me in the day of trouble, I will hear you, and I'll meet you at the point of need. Then in verse 16, he says, but unto the wicked, God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou gavest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thy own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thy eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Let's look at verse 21 again. Who has, I want a different translation, NLT. Who's the NLT for us? Verse 21. Psalm 50, verse 21.
Why do you live always and remain silent? And you thought I didn't care. But now I will rebuke you. Listening all my child's silence.
While you were doing this thing, I kept silent. Who has another translation? NIV. Which ones do you have there? No. Let's listen to basic English. Basic Bible English. So Bible in basic English. BBE. Psalm 50 verse 21. Bring me the Amplified as well. Psalm 50 verse 21. Because that is the primary scripture that we're looking at today. Every other scripture is hooked up to that.
These things you have done, when I said to you, it seems to you that I was such a one as yourself, but I will make a process against you and put them in order to your eyes.
Okay. So God says there, you were doing these things and I said nothing. Kept silence, I said nothing. Let's hear the century, the new century in contemporary English. Okay.
When you did all of this, I didn't say a word, and you thought God is just like us,
is when you said all these things. He said, the silence of God is not an approval of God. The silence of God does not mean backing the backing of God. The silence of God does not mean that God is consenting to what you are doing. Try to use ABC so that we can remember. One is not an approval. Two is not a backing. Three is not consent. The fact that God is keeping quiet. The fact that God is not saying anything. He said, you thought that I am like you. Because I'm keeping quiet. You think I'm like you. You think I agree with you. You think I'm approving what you are doing. You think I'm backing you up. I'm supporting you because I kept quiet. You think I'm consenting because I kept quiet. You think that I am like you, human beings, who believe in majority rule because I kept quiet. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because God is silent, because God is not judging instantly, men just continue to do whatever they were doing. Exodus 32:1-6. You just read about evil going wild. Doing as they like, and God remains silent. That is perhaps the most difficult part for us as believers. You look at what is happening in the world today, you look at what is happening in the church today, and you begin to wonder, is there a God? And for so many, God is, maybe this is what God is saying, He's quiet. They say, God is backing that man up. If he wasn't doing the right thing, God should have killed him by now. Many of you have heard the such things. And you know this man is living a life of sin. You know not only this, but he is leading men into sin. Because they're quiet. They said, no, God must be consenting. After all, silence means nonsense. And God said, you think or you thought that I am like you. You thought I am like you. Let's go and see what those people were doing. Let's go back to Psalm 50. And see what those people were doing, and you'll be shocked that this was how they saw God. Verse 16 says, but unto the wicked, they thought God was wicked. This was their thinking. What hast thou to do to declare my statutes? They were declaring the word of God, it was okay. And thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth. And they were talking that they are children of the covenant. They thought it was okay. He said, seeing thou hatest instruction. These people hated instruction. They hated to hear from God. They hated the word of God. Instruction is something that's supposed to reprove, some that will rebuke, some that will set you on the straight path. They hated correction. And they think that is God. That God Himself hates correction. And casteth my word behind thee. They think that God will look at the majority of people in the crowd and say, it doesn't matter, He will put His word aside. That's what they thought. That's what many of you may be thinking, because God has said, telling lies, nothing has happened. You're sleeping around, nothing has happened. You have a boyfriend or girlfriend somewhere, and you're good, nothing has happened. You are cheating your customers, nothing has happened. God is not saying anything. So He must be in agreement with what we are doing is not wrong. Look at verse 18. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him. We are in cahoots with robbers, with thieves. And we give them titles because they are bank managers, because they are oil company magnates, because they have the money, they are politicians, they are governors, they are senators, they are legislators. These are the people we are consenting with. We are in cahoot with them. We visit them to give them the word of God that says, my brother, this is what the Lord is saying. You are doing a good job. The man just finished sleeping with six girls and gave them people's money, and you went. And you stand down with him. I said, God says you are doing well. The man gives you a bag full of money, 20 million, 30 million. You walk away from there. That's good, O Lord. Speaking more so that I can be telling you, because you are. And thou hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil. and thy tongue frameth deceit. These are the things that people were doing. But because God said nothing, they thought he's agreeing with us. Because if he didn't agree with us, by now he should have killed us. But he hasn't killed us. So there's nothing wrong. I don't know why they are so, I don't know why they are preaching this kind of message. There's nothing wrong. Some people go to the extent of saying that God doesn't see. I've heard people say to me, if God is as powerful as you claim, how come he can't stop me when I'm trying to do this? Go ahead and do it. You want to do it? Go and do it. Why should he stop you? He's giving you free will. Express yourself. Ezekiel chapter 8, from verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, at the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins, even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness as the color of amber. You know that the Lord Jesus reincarnated Christ. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. This was the house of God, and they had erected an image of jealousy. That's fine. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now, the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes, way toward the north, and behold, not one of the gates of the altar, this image of jealousy in the end. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abomination that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But tell me yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. This was in the house of God. Verse 7. And he brought me to the door of the court, the outer court, now the door, just the entrance. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Nobody was passing the gate anymore. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I have digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do there. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. In the house of God. In the hearts of men. You know, the house of God is also in our hearts. God began to see all the images that we have been worshipped. Money, good clothes, houses, cars, jobs, pride, arrogance. No, this is the person I can marry. I can't marry this one. This is the child I want. This is the school I want my children to go to. This is this. Competition in the house of God. You can't talk to me. What school did you go to? What's your degree? What is that? In the house of God. Verse 11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancient, the leaders of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jehizaliah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. What's the censer for? Worship, praise, prayer. They were praying with all these things. And as long as they were praying, God is there. Verse 12. Then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord has forsaken thee. I'm sure you've heard statements like that. That after God made the earth, he abandoned it for us to do whatever we like. God was looking. And he saw men. The ancients, the leaders, the church elders, the people we call the generals, God's generals, we call them God's generals. What they were doing in secret, they revealed to Jesus. Verse 13, he said unto me, also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. What can be worse than what we have already heard? What can be worse than what we have already seen? Verse 14. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz, an idol. The women's meeting was idolatry. When the women gathered together, none of them were praying to God. They were praying to an idol. They were praying to the idol of that would give them children. They were praying to the idol that would give them husbands. They were praying to the idol that would give them money so they can buy the kind of clothes and trinkets they want to wear. They were praying to the idol that would kill the brother's sister that they don't like. Verse 15. Then said he unto me, Have thou seen these, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. What else can be greater than that? But it was happening in the house of God. And God was seen, and God cared. Brothers and sisters, my serving is dangerous. It's very dangerous. I'm telling you. When you see the Bible makes such statements, you need to take it literally and look at it closely. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. With that scripture, we need to paste it all around our homes, in our offices, in our car. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the fact that he's keeping quiet does not mean that fire is not burning. Verse 16. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. This is now, the brother was the outer court. Now he's taking it into the temple itself. Inside, the place, the inner court, was where you kept the lamp, the golden lampstand. That's where you had the altar of incense, where incense was born. That was where you kept the showbread, the word of God. That was the only place that kept you from entering into the Holy of Holies. There was a place that only priests were allowed into. Only the priests were allowed to go in there. A few Levites, maybe, but there were selected Levites who could go in and do something, but essentially it was the priests, the sons of the chief priest or the high priest who could go in there. He said, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun towards the east. Where was this happening now? Inside, they backed God and began to worship the sun. Pastors! And God cares. The Bible says, for our God is a consuming. That's why what we are saying here today carries weight. Carries what? Weight. Verse 17. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not the abominations that these people were committing. If you like, you can go and begin to read the others. You now see the judgment of God looming and how God pronounced judgment. I said, wait, before you pronounce that judgment, before you ask, you come, go and start stamping my name on some foreheads. But you guys follow. As you see him stamping the head, avoid that head. Anyone who's, after he has finished, anyone on whom the seal of God is not on their forehead is strong. God is Lord. I don't have the quarrel with that. And that's what God said. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I save God. So when you're going about thinking that, oh, it's so sweet, it's so, be careful. Bible says, he's glorious in holiness, that he's fearful in. Just don't go about praising and say, I'm praising God, you're naked. Like dancing, you say, I'm praising God. God kept quiet. And he said, God approves all these things because he's naked. He said, it's okay because he's in the same. He said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as you. You have brought me to your level, and now I'm like you. Because you sit and eat with thieves, I'm like you. I'm agreeing with you that this thief is okay. Because some fellow sings a song, and everybody's singing it. So you say, it is okay. After all, God has not said anything. That has God killed the devil. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Let me ask you a question. What is God trying to tell us? That he needed to go to Sodom to see. He didn't need to go there to know. He was going there to pass judgment. He knew what he did. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 13. This was when Lot was choosing a place to go. From verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves the one from the other. Why was he choosing the plain of Jordan? Because it was a well-watered place. He could graze his cattle there. Everything was okay. Verse 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And pitched his tent towards Sodom. Verse 13 is the awesome thing there. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Did Lot know?
No.
Why?
God was silent.
When Lot was choosing the place, did God say to him, don't go there?
No.
And Lot believed.
It's an approval. He didn't know what was going to happen.
God. The silence of God,
like I said earlier, must never be taken for approval. Must never be taken for the back. And must never be taken as one.
If anything at all, we should send caution our way.
And we're going to look at why God is silent.
But the silence of God
also can be short term and it can be long term.
In this particular case, it was short term. They made the image the day before. The following day, they began to worship it. As we'll see maybe next week or so, God began to speak. Just 2 days, and God began to speak. In the days of Noah, it wasn't 2 days, it was long term. We can put dates to things. As we read through the scriptures in Genesis, we can see exactly what happened. Around the time Noah was about 500, a little over 500 there about, God called him and told him to start building the ark. And then when it was about 600, God put him in the ark, shut the doors, and the rain started. So, usually we say that Noah spent about 100 years, it could be less than 100, it could be about 100 years, building the ark. What was he doing?
Speaking.
Every time he was building the ark on dry ground, it had not rained for years. There was a famine. Everywhere was dry. Then who were having for the Bible? Lord just told us. He said, as in the day of Noah, what were they doing?
Drinking,
hiring, hiring, and giving in. Things life went on. And Noah was building that ark, and life was going. And I'm sure some people come and ask, I'm like, but Noah, what are you doing? He said, God says he's going to bring judgment on the world. Noah. Look at these guys. It has not rained for the past 10 years, 20 years, and you say, oh, relax, continue.
That was why.
I mean, you would have thought that at least when they were insulting Noah, God would have caused the heaven to roar out of the rest.
Listen, for the space of about 100 years, God said,
in Genesis 15, we're going to look at that later. Let me not read it. We know from Bible history that between the time that Malachi wrote, which is the last book of the Old Testament, and the time when the angel went to meet John the Baptist's father, Bible theologians tell us the period of 400 years when God was silent.
Then the Israelites continued to do whatever they did.
In fact, those 400 years of silence was the time when Judaism was one of the people was at its peak. You have the rebellion of the Maccabees. This were a group of people who insisted that they were going to protect the house of God. They had knives, they had daggers, they had swords. They fought every invading army with a sword to protect the house of God. It was in the 400 years that the sect of the Pharisees and the Sadducees rose. It was in this 400 years of silence that the temple, the magnificent temple of Herod, was built.
Even though God was silent, activities continued. 400 years. Quiet.
In Genesis 15, from 13 to the end, God told Abraham, he said, I want you to be sure of one thing. Your children, I'm going to deposit them in a foreign land. They will oppress them, but don't worry. After about 400 years, I will come and get them out. Why? Because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet. If we're going to go by that calculation, we know. The Bible tells us that the 430th year, that day that it made exactly 130 years, was when Israel came out of Egypt, right? Another 3 years, they were supposed to enter into the land, and they said, no, not so. And so they stayed back in the wilderness for how many more years? 38 more years. So 40 years. Add that to 430. How many years now?
470 years. The Amorites continued business as usual. And God said, my brother, God is dangerous.
No, it's good to do loving with God, particularly when it's quiet. When God is silent, I beg you, don't be silent. In fact, when you are not hearing from that is when you should not be silent. If he's silent, don't be silent. What did I say? If God is silent, don't be silent. You keep talking. Just make sure so that he will speak to you. Many of us sitting here are not hearing from God in a long time. I'm not talking about those who don't even know how to hear. I'm talking about those who had heard from God before. They used to hear from God, but they are no longer hearing. Now, when you hear this reason, I think God is saying this. I think. Then, before now, you were sure. So what God is saying. But now, they are rationalizing. God was asking us to do this. Bishop Sasso did it. Fire did not fall. And this person did it. Nothing happened. That person thought, it's okay. Let's do it here. Want to preach this? Come on. Let's click on the TV. Look for TDJs, look for jewelers, those are people with pictures. Look for all those other people when they show their churches, you just see people on the ground level, the gallery full. This is their messages. Write it down. Come on, preachers. God is silent. When you look at the auditorium of the churches in America, impressive. Let's do something like that. That is why it's not even important. When God is silent, you should never be silent. In fact, do you know when you should be silent? The Bible says it is when God is speaking. So when you enter into the house of God, what should you do? Keep your mouth shut and hear. So that you don't come and give the sacrifice of fools. 400 years, 430 years. You know, sometimes it could even take 1,000 years and God will say no. Sometimes you listen to what scientists are doing now. They're coming up with all kinds of things. We're listening to a program last night. I survived. A woman who talked about how she was stabbed multiple times and that she just saw this bright light from heaven come to her and that she had peace. That she was ready to go. And they typed a message that, well, usually when people are about to die, they begin to hallucinate because of the shortage of supply of oxygen to the brain. You begin to see brightness. That is fine. That, and you are wondering, God, would you kill them? What should I do? It's quiet. Silence. Must be okay. Aaron builds. Maybe Aaron was saying to himself, if God doesn't want to do this, he will strike me. And he completed the molten calf. God is approving. They put it there. This is your God. Because they know the mountain of God was close by. And they thought fire would fall from the mountain and fall on top of the golden calf. God is with Aaron. God is backing him up. So Aaron said, quickly, he built an altar. After all, he has said that he is Moses' second in command. He probably will be, he's being ticked as the next chief priest. Aaron announced, tomorrow morning, we worship God. Everybody, we worship God, Shh, they wash their clothes. They woke up very early. God is telling one of them, so go, because I'm not there. That's why I'll go. Dangerous. And God is silent. You don't be silent. The only time you are told to be silent is when God is speaking. When he's not speaking, that's when you should be speaking. You better make sure you are speaking, talking to him, until you hear him. The silence of God, what does it mean? Just give us about 4 or 5 things that it may mean. It may mean that God is saying, the cup of their iniquity is not yet full, so be quiet. That's Genesis 15 that we do not read, 13 to 21. What is the iniquity? Because I'm looking for their cup to be full. When it's full, I will strike. Have you been doing things that you should not be doing? My God is not saying anything. It's possible, my brother. It's possible, my sister. My brother said, as much as it's not, I don't know. Let them continue. I've made up my mind on what I'm going to do. I just want their cup. And they'll continue to do. When the girls will sleep together, they'll go to church. The girls will be in the choir, the boys will be in the pastorates. When they were praying, the place was shaking. Goose pimple was all over the place. Prophecies were going on. They were there. They even prophesied. They said, there's nothing wrong. I don't know why this pastor is always insisting on this. What is it? We've been doing this for how many years? 400 years. What is it? One day after this, he said,
waiting for the cup of the enemy to be full.
The Yorubas have a saying, when a man is taking things for granted, they say, you are climbing the tree beyond the leaves. Many of us, we even climb the tree, then we are even so far away from the leaves that if they fall now, but the side, he said, it's okay. So we must leave the church, you can sit down with your friends, you shut there, be talked up, smoke cigarette, do whatever you want to do, as long as it's not Wednesday, it's not Friday. The day you drink on the Wednesday, that day you're not coming, you just send a text to the pastor. Pastor, say, I'm not feeling too well, please pray for me. If the pastor doesn't know anything, we'll be praying for you now. God will not tell Pastor anything. He says, to say that man, the man of God is supposed to know.
Doesn't need to know.
If God doesn't tell him anything, he doesn't need to know. Elisha prayed for a woman who had a child. The woman had a child. He gave the child died. The woman ran to Elisha. And the woman was saying, this woman is grieved by something, and the Lord has not redeemed this.
God was crying, he just kept quiet. He didn't tell Elisha that the woman's son had died. He's really anything.
And Elisha is a man of God, and we know. When God speaks, He hears.
God is saying, and we are needed. See, that's the point. When of us can't have this.
You say, no, this is what, if God has not said anything, why do you say He says? And then tomorrow you try and say, well, you know, God did not say I do. Say it from the beginning. Let us make up our minds whether we are going with you or we are not going with you. But for you to say something and say, God is saying, then tomorrow you turn around and say, I don't think God said. The cup of iniquity. Is not yet free. That is possibly one reason why God is silent. Second reason is that God has already spoken about the matter. He doesn't need to speak again. The Bible says, once has God spoken, how many times did I hear it? Why should God repeat Himself when He has said it once? In 1 Corinthians 10:1-12, the Bible tells us, He says, I want you to remember all that Israel of old. They crossed, they were baptized together with Moses in the cloud. They ate manna in the wilderness. They drank from the rock, which is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God was there, the cloud of fire, the pillar of fire, the cloud, and the cloud was following them. They saw it visibly for 40 years. At night, it gave them light. They didn't meet them. They had no generation. He said to them in John chapter 8, he said, for 40 years, your clothes did not wear out. Can you imagine that? No supermarket, no place to buy new shoes. And for 40 years, the shoes grew with the young. He was growing with them. As they were growing, the shoes were growing. No holes. The clothes did not tear. The clothes they were wearing for 40 years. God was with them. He said that, was he not with the same people? And God was. He killed them at one time, he killed them at the other time. He said, and the Bible says that God, they rose up to play, God killed them. 23,000. God has said it, why should he do it? God asked, why do you want God to say it again? And you know that sometimes, when you keep repeating something over and over again, it loses its meaning. Because they've been hearing it over and over again, nobody, it just loses its meaning. So why should God repeat itself? What we're saying here is, once the word is written, what else do you want God to say? It's in the Bible. What does He want God to say? It's for you to search the scriptures and live according to the scriptures. In Luke chapter 16:19-31, Luke 16:19-31, you know the story of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man had his affluence. Lazarus lived in poverty. And they died and roles were reversed. And the rich man cried unto Abraham and said, Father Abraham, send somebody from this place to go and tell them that this place is true. They shouldn't come here. What did Abraham say? He said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. They already have the Torah. They have the writings of the Old Testament. Let them read it. He said, if they wouldn't listen to Moses, if they wouldn't listen to the prophets, then even if we send one man from heaven, they wouldn't listen to him. But they don't preach in my church. It's the Bible with you. They don't preach against it in my church. You still go there. But you have the Bible. Read it. My pastor did not teach me about tithing. Is it in the Bible? Read it. Why must they teach you when you have the Bible? You will spend money on clothes, you spend money on cars, spend money on anything, but you will spend money on the Bible. You won't invest in the Bible that teaches you the truth. But you will buy the latest fashion any day, no matter the cost. You will even owe money. But the word of life will not be. When you're sick, you will take everything to a doctor to make you well. And the word of God is fine. When you buy, you will do it.
But you know what this lady, who stands in El Shaddai, in the
ground,
there's one song that she has said something about the man who has the biggest kitchens.
It's not the size of the Bible. It's not the number of Bibles you have. It's not even the opening of the Bible. It's not even the reading of the Bible. It's the getting of the meaning of what the Bible is saying. The Pharisees knew the word. The Pharisees knew the Torah. The Pharisees, in fact, you couldn't be a Pharisee if you couldn't quote, if you couldn't read it offhand. You couldn't be a Pharisee. You must know the law by heart. Is it by head? But they know the meaning of the word in the reading. No way. Even amongst them, there were quarrels. There were those who said, you could divorce your wife for any reason. Some said, no, it's only if her cooking is not good. Some said, no, it's only if she's not good in bed. Some said, no. If you are talking to her and she's not listening, you can do it. They had different versions of what it meant. But when they came and asked the Lord, what did he say? From the beginning, it was not.
So that Moses said,
he said, yes, because of the hardness of your hearts. That's why Moses gave the word, so that you don't kill the woman. But from the beginning, it was never the intention. And we pick things from the Bible and say, well, I know, but you know, God allowed this and this, God allowed this. God is speaking fine. Because I've written it forever. It's there. Has the Bible changed? In the 2,500 years or so, that is in religion. Has it changed? The Moses can say, oh, I made a mistake, let me rewrite this part. What was written before? The translators may make mistakes. Translation. That's why you have many translations trying to correct one another. Some of the translations try to modernize it so that you and I can understand what they are saying. The essence of the Bible is for understanding. It's not for crying. So that we can believe. We believe it, we read it, we believe it, we all say it. That's it. But how many of us believe? We read it and then we act. And God is watching and looking for. So reason number one, it's possible he's waiting for the cup of iniquity. Reason number two, he has already spoken. So why should he speak? Reason number three, God is giving opportunity for repentance. Just quiet. So let me give them opportunity to give them repent. Romans 2:1-4 and 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slack, as some people consider slackness. Instead, he's giving opportunity for people to repent so that he doesn't destroy them. Whilst he's waiting for the call of iniquity to be full, if that man were to suddenly realize himself and turn around and say, I confess. God is happy. He said in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 1 and 32. So why do you want? I don't have pleasure in the death of any that is dying. I don't want to kill people. It's just me. I just can't stand sin. I don't want to kill anyone. He said if a righteous man gives birth to a son, and that son, see the father's mother, chooses to walk in, that boy will be punished for his own evil. His father will not carry the punishment of the son. That is every soul that sins. Every soul is mine, and the soul that sins, it shall die. The father will not die for the son will not die for the father. He said, if a wicked man gives birth to a child, and that child considers the wickedness of the father and begins to live right, that boy, the father is dead. You cannot use the excuse of, well, that's how we are in our family. It won't work. Because as an individual, you are accountable. They may be promiscuous in your family, it doesn't mean you. They may be murderers in your family, it doesn't mean you. She did not. Your father may have married 20 wives, it doesn't mean that you have to marry two. Say you're a believer, many of us don't understand one thing. That once you are a believer, your nationality changes, your culture changes, your tradition, everything about you changes. You are no longer a citizen of earth. You don't belong to any nation. You may carry the passport of a nation, but that's for the purpose of that. You are not of any nation. To be sure, favoritism over one nationality, or one nationality over another. You don't belong to any ethnic group. In the church of God, we are all one. For one blood, the blood of Jesus. We have one Father, one Lord, one Spirit. We belong to one God. No fight of any, and one. God is giving opportunity for people to repent. Keep quiet and watch. So, it's possible that he's waiting for the come of iniquity to be full. He's already spoken about it. Three, he's doing what? What's the third one I said now? Give an opportunity for repentance.
Give an opportunity for repentance.
Four.
God wants to see what you do.
Do you join them
or will you follow him?
In John chapter 6, verse 66, after the Lord Jesus has spoken about, except you eat my body, my flesh, and drink my blood, you are not going to be one of mine. Let's read in John chapter 6. Bible says that many of his disciples turned and left him. In verse 66, it says, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? What will you do? Will you also follow? The Americans say that the issue of head covering is relevant. The Nigerians say, well, my wife is preaching and she's powerful and she doesn't cover her head. Well, it's a violent expression and she's powerful. And so these people are preaching and they're powerful and they're not covering their head.
What did the Bible say?
Jesus what I'm saying there.
What did the Bible say? Will you join them? Will you follow the Lord? Of course.
We don't need to tie. After all, in this chapter, don't tie. That chapter, they don't tie. This, actually, practically, the Roman Catholics don't tie.
And they are considered the richest church. The richest, in fact, the richest singular organization in the world. The Vatican is considered a nation. They have an embassy. They have an ambassador.
It's a powerful organization. It's a nation
on its own. And they don't tie. They just give an offering whatever they want. Nobody will put you an offering there. Just whatever they want to do.
They have investments all over the world.
Even if you don't give an offering to the Roman Catholic Church, the church will survive. The pastors don't beg for offering. The pastors don't need anything from any one of you. God says to you,
okay.
Why don't you go down with do what you do? Gather the monies together into your best. Just be out. Have your new God.
What will you do?
You join them. You do what they're doing.
Women will go to church and their breasts are showing. I mean, literally, the breasts are showing.
And my husband likes it that way. Like one man of God, say one man of God said, that your husband is not the only one in public. Show it to him in the bedroom. You don't want to see him in the streets.
And then church!
What did he say? It's okay. So Thanksgiving, they are dancing to the front. The pastor has a field. The pastor doesn't need to buy any pornographic thing. He is seeing it in front of him.
Live! Girls will wear short skirts to church.
I try and sit down where they know the pastor's eyes will fall. And they sitting down crossing their legs. Sometimes they nicely forget to cross their legs. And then they are agents of Satan. They need to come and kill the pastor. And God is silent. God is silent. You have to be silent to the pastor. So what we need to do, when the God speaks to that, he's advising you go. He wants to know what you do.
Pastor so-and-so has left with half of his choir.
Join me.
And he's still preaching powerfully. His church is still full.
Join me. So-and-so pastor, you see the juju man that is giving him juju.
That's why his church is full.
You want the full church? Join me. Go and see the half of his school.
They built so-and-so church with half a billion naira.
You want to join them?
They raised money.
A friend of mine, pastor, came one day to me. He said, sir,
how did you build Jesus' house?
I said, I didn't build Jesus' house. God built it.
He said,
I don't remember what. I don't remember what as pastor Jesus' house.
Raising money.
I don't remember one day. All I did was to tell the people that this time, 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now, there will be a roof here. And there will be a roof. I didn't tell anybody and I didn't tell anybody to give me money. After the service, we just go and say, pastor, you want to be part of this party? I didn't ask anybody for that. God built his house.
He said, but so-and-so person, I saw him, he was raising money.
I said, my brother, how old is that? I said, 10 years. I said, good, that man has been with his congregation for 10 years. He knows them and they know him. How old are you? How old are you in ministry? 3 years. You want to raise that kind of thing? You want to build what they are doing? So invest in the people. The people will build whatever they want. You, your work is to build the lives of people. People don't like to hear such things.
Oh, pastor, I saw this girl. Oh, she's such a nice girl. You know, she goes to church. She's born again.
Yeah, she's just learning to speak in tongues now. And, you know, I've been teaching her foundation class and you want to marry. My brother, are you sure you're afraid of her? Pastor, you know about prayer. I have a friend in Susan said church. In fact, if you see the way you marry this is one, it's the future. There's one man, I don't know him actually, and we met on the internet.
What's that?
We met him where?
On the net.
What about him? Pastor, he wants to marry me. Why have you come for counsel? I want you to come to dinner. I need counsel. Counsel for what? I want to know whether I should marry him or not.
I see.
So, what religion do you? I don't know him. I don't know him. Have you prayed? Pastor, it's not a matter of prayer. My sister, that's how my sister got married. After waiting for 15 years, God answered that. He just flipped on the thing and they're living happily. In fact, they have two children now.
Thank you very much.
Go and do my advice.
Abby?
a pastor. You know that now, eh? If you want to get an American visa, it is hard to get it, and there's one man who can do it. I know. I just want you to pray on my passport that it will receive the visa.
You are trying to involve me. You have made up your mind, you are going to give the man half a million.
What have you come to me to do? To pray for what?
Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
It worked for A, it worked for B. Maybe it worked for you.
Join them.
That's the important question for us. God is silent. Pastor, I've cried, I've prayed, I've done this, I've done that. God is silent.
The woman is waiting for God. Pastor, I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm waiting for the Lord for a child. My husband and I have been waiting for the past 15 years. And you know, Pastor, now he's threatening. He's going to kick me out of the house. What else should I do?
And I heard that sister so-and-so, that she did IVF. And look at her, she has a fine baby. But her baby is 3 years old. Nothing has happened, the child has no defects.
You're really waiting on God for an idea.
Do you know what that child will become?
It is his child. It's you join them, you stick to the competitive world.
I'm going to get that. It's going to get tough out. So this is one vital question that I have to answer. Are you going to follow them?
Are you going to follow my word?
Finally, it is actually possible that God has been speaking to you and us. A strong possibility. That it's not really that God is silent. It is more like you are not hearing.
Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, from verse 14. They were asking the Lord Jesus, why is it that you speak in parables? He said, you know, you guys have been blessed. And when I speak, you understand. I speak, you hear. You receive it. You absorb it. He said, but these people, they have not been given that lesson. Verse 14 says, and in them, in these people, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. They shut their eyes, they dulled their hearing, they made up their minds on what they were going to hear when they came to church. So that man is always talking against every time he preaches against him. Once I just hear him, like, you know, that woman like that, the moment that they go to that church and they start talking about time, they're sitting down there. Every time, we just talk about adultery and fornication. Is there nothing else to say? Once he has done so, start fantasizing, start dreaming. Say, that in fact, even the pastor was preaching, the God was showing me that revelation. Is God going to contradict this? Is God the author? Will God permit chaos in your heart? Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Actually, most of that is not silent at all. It just happens. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. This is what the Bible says. I want to read it. I can quote it, but I want to read it. So that we can see the need of all the... Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Before I came down, listening to Simon on CBN, the guy gave a beautiful illustration of deliverance. He said, he put the dog collar on his dogs, and they activated a sensor. So if they try to cross a particular line to jump onto the car, the sensor will just activate and the whole of their body will be on fire. So what do? He will loosen the collar and tell them to jump onto the car. And because of what he felt, even though the collar has been removed, they will not jump onto the car. They've been delivered. The bond has been removed. But are they working as people who are free? They're still working as people who are free. Many of us, I have no doubt in my mind that we're not going to do that. But we're living, we cannot walk as God. And we soon go back to sin. And then we are separated. If there's anything that the Father delights in, is that we can speak to His Son, and His Son is. We need to know how much effort we make on this little message here. And He's saying, it's Marie, I'm trying to talk to Him. And we'll be excited the day He utters His sentence. And we utter His sentence to Him, and we really understand. I believe that God's excitement is that His children is forever in the. So why did God decide when He actually was? The essence of the Bible, the reason why He gave us the Bible, is not so that the Bible will become a mysterious book.
that will look at it and say, you need to have a third eye in the center of your forehead before you can understand it. That's not why the Bible. That you need to go to Bible school before you can understand. That's not what the Bible. In fact, the people who translated the Bible into English language had a vision that every child on the street should be able to read the Bible. That was the reason. So God cannot want to speak to you and then be quiet. It's true that in some instances it's silent, but let's be sure that it is actually that it is silent, and not that our sins have separated us. Because I know for sure that if we confess our sins and return to Him, fellowship is reinstated. Silence, by the thought was a silence for whatever reason, evaporates, and we begin to hear
clearly of God.
Is it possible that you are living contrary to an expectation? Well, maybe, but not maybe. Certainly, this one you are hearing from God. Not as silent as you may have thought. It's not like you. He sees, he knows. He understands so many things. For sure, we've just made up our minds. We're bent on what we want to do. And God says, allow them to do it. The book of Hosea, after He has sent His prophets on and on and on to Israel, and they won't listen. He said to Israel, let Ephraim go. Ephraim has joined himself unto idols. Leave it alone. His matter is concluded. I pray that you will not be in that category where God will say, I've concluded his matter. There's no need to talk to him. Because you will continue to hear the word of God and it won't mean anything. It will mean like it's a joke. When you get to Revelation and you begin to see the 12 tribes that are counted, Ephraim, and this was Ephraim, who had a greater blessing than Manasseh. Samson was a mighty man, and his birth was prophesied. He grew up into a young, fine man with the power of God upon him. But he had a peace. Was not like the child of God. His desire was for the Philistine women. God felt, okay, we'll use it to deal with the Philistines. But no, Samson had his own plans. He wanted it for his own greatness. And Samson will go and sleep with a prostitute. And the Philistine army will come and surround the city where Samson had been to save prostitutes. And Samson will wake up from the bed of fornication and go to the city gates and see the Philistine army. He will just lift up the gate, bam, carry it up to a mountain, to a hill, and drop it there and say, I'll punish you. Come and carry that gate. I was there. And he didn't know that God was warning me to tell us that this body won't change. You can't change. And his cup was filling up, and he didn't. Then the Bible says, he loved also another woman called a delightsome woman, as far as Samson was concerned. The best woman he had ever met in his travail on earth. And he submitted the deepest secrets in his heart into the hands of his wife. Believe it! For I'm a covenant child of God. Nothing can happen. By the time Delilah has cripped Samson's head, he said to Samson, in Judges 16, Samson, the Philistine down here. Because he had done it a couple of times, he woke up, and by the time he screamed out there, which was a symbol of his tie with God. And he disdained it. So Samson slid around, he said, I will go as before. The error of form. If you do it this way, this will be the do it that way. It's not the good, it is the presence of God that makes it. The Bible says, he did not know. It is this crowd. First thing they did on that side. Stop us. I pray that you will not get to that place where you're caught. I pray that before the cup of iniquity is full, you will make a roundabout of it. That's my honest prayer. You know, some things happen to young people. I know that God can take anybody at any age, but there are some things that happen to young people, and you begin to wonder. Where did we miss? Did we miss something here? Because young people think they're invincible. They think nothing can happen to them. They look at their age and they say, well, that's so young. What about how old you are? Death comes to all. The worst part is the death that is not your death coming to you because you have lived a life that has exposed you to Satan and his cause. It's possible that God has already spoken. They are not hearing. Remember the Bible says, once has God spoken. How many times did I hear? There is another opportunity. Thank God for technology. You can record messages. In fact, right now you can put messages on your phone and listen to them while you are working. You can download them on the internet. Resources are boundless. There can be no excuse. Two of our sisters in San Diego, United States, particularly one of them, always writes to me, Pastor, can you send me your message? I need to listen. But because of our internet speed so slow, we can't package a large file. You know, recently, while I was trying to work on something for somebody's phone, I discovered that we could actually bring the file size even much lower. The quality may not be sharp. So I said to them, well, you know, I can bring the file size lower. The quality was said, Pastor, it doesn't matter. Just send it to us. We'll listen no matter what. Thousands of miles away, and all we need is one click of the button and get the message. We are here. We are forever going to cyber out. But nobody has asked Pastor, can this message be sent to my email box? Once has God spoken. How many guys did I hear? Once. Can hear you. The resources are here. Will we? Are you going to take the opportunity that God is giving for repentance? Because you see, his silence is with him. And his thing. What will they do? Will they shake this one off also? Just walk away and say, I didn't speak. I say, well, it's Pastor Ray that is speaking. So, I want to hear God directly for myself. I close with a story. We know it very well. Numbers 22. Balaam was approached by Balak to come and curse the children of God. Balaam said to the people who came and said, even if you give me half of your kingdom, I can't come. Except I hear from God. Very well. And God said to him, in the night, who are these people? So they came, they said I should come and curse. No. Those people, they are blessed. Don't bother. Don't even go. Well, I said, well, God said I shouldn't go. He told them clearly, God said I shouldn't. But I said, okay, the price is not right. He sent a better price. And then I saw the price. Oh, the head began to speak. So, wait here, I will ask you to God again. What else do you want God to say? And he went, God knew what was in his heart. God began to answer him by the multitude of the idols. Go with them. He said, okay, tomorrow we will go. Is that God? Does God say yes and no? That is everything that God says is yes. And in Christ Jesus, we always say amen. And he rose up in the morning, saddled his ass. And as he was going, unknown to him, God had opened the eyes of his donkey and shut his own eyes. Donkey saw an angel with a sword waiting to kill Balaam. And but that donkey was a faithful donkey. The donkey dodged to save his master. A dog that kept dodging until they got to an alley. It was tight. They didn't want to be. The donkey just went down to save his master. His master who did not want salvation. Then I slapped the donkey. What with you? I bought him with money. I was supposed to do what I asked him to do. Suddenly God opened the vocal cords of the donkey. Have I not served you this many years? Said yes. Have I not taken you? So he was answering the donkey. Donkey had never spoken before. He was so blinded by the loss and what he was going to receive. It didn't occur to him that even though it was a donkey speaking, it was actually God speaking. Afterwards, God opened his eyes.
Because he kept telling, okay, I can do whatever I want to do with you. I can kill you. I can do anything. You are my property. You are supposed to do whatever. And God opened his eyes. And saw the meeting. God said, but for this reason, I'm looking at the cross. I would have killed you and spared the donkey. You will go. And make sure you don't say anything. And he must do this. Well, I still did what God did not ask. He paid the price. A very serious price. So perhaps, you may be saying this morning, what is happening? What is Pastor Ray saying that God is speaking? Okay! So it's not God speaking. It's a dumb ass whose vocal cords are the one who's speaking to you this morning. And it's a new God. Because this is what God is saying. The time has come for judgment to begin. And it's going to begin where? The house of God. Let's bow our heads. Is the silence of God in your life so loud that it is deafening? Maybe you need to begin to check yourself. Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. Maybe you are living a covetous life. Maybe you have been living in sin. God is tired of people using Him, living as they want to live, and using Him. I say, but I'm a child of God. Why is nothing happening in my life? I want to think deeply this morning. Think very, very deeply this morning. You used to hear from God, but now you are no longer hearing from Him. And you know, it's not that God is keeping quiet because there's nothing to say. You know that it's because of the life you are living. I want to pray for you. This is the right hand I want to hit. This one. Do it very good. That the floodgates of the voice of God can be heard again. I see those hands. Raise it up very quickly. It's above your head. You have not been hearing, you used to hear from God, but lately you have not been hearing from Him. And it is not because God wants to be quiet, it's because you know what you have been doing. It's not right. As you are lifting up those hands, I want you to make up your mind. This morning. That whatever it is you have been doing, it stops now. I want you to talk to Him now. With your hands up, I want you to talk to Him now. Whatever you have been doing, you know it. It's giving you an opportunity for repentance. Today, grab hold of it. Talk to him, because I'm going to pray for you. The moment is over. I want you to repent before the Lord this morning. It's a repentance not to be repented of. It's a repentance once and for all. It will not be done again. Will never happen again. Talk to the Lord. Make up your mind that from now on, this thing that you have been doing that stops the flow between you and God ends. Now, ends here and now. Never to happen again, make up your mind. And say that to Him. Ask Him to help you. Put those hands down. You are here. You should hear from God. They are not hearing at this time. And you are in the middle of a major decision. And you are calling on God. And He's not answering. And you know, you have checked yourself. It's not that there is pain in it. I guarantee you one thing. That is asking. Do you want to go the way others are going? Or do you want to do what I tell you to do? If you fall into that category, raise up your hand. You used to hear from God. You're in the middle of the decision and God is not saying, raise it up, I want that hand up because I want to see those hands. If you were in the first category, don't bother raising up your hand. This time around, I want the second. Yeah, see those hands. Put those hands up. I want you to talk to the Almighty God today and say, Father, there's only one thing I want to do. Your will. That's all. Your will. Talk to Him. Talk to Him.
Lord, draw me nearer, nearer to Thee.
Father, my ears are attentive to your word. Speak to me. I want to hear you speak to me, Lord. I want to be able to do your word. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. I just want to be where you are. In your presence, anywhere. I don't want to worship all my heart. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are. Let the presence be forever. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting on your table, and surrounded by your glory. In your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be with you. Almighty and everlasting God, we just want to thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. Indeed, Lord, you are not deaf, you hear. You are not blind, you see. You are not without understanding, you know the things that happen around us. Almighty and everlasting God, I pray those who have not been hearing from you by reason of sin, that Father, you will have mercy on them. That Father, you will wash them this morning in the blood of Jesus. That Lord, you will roll away whatever reproach may be a reproach in their life. And open the floodgates once again of sweet fellowship with you. Those who are at decision points are not hearing you. Father, I pray that you will guide them by your word. You will guide them by your spirit. That they will do the right thing and not follow the crowd in that decision. I pray, Almighty and everlasting God, that for each and every one of us here this morning, we will draw close to you. We will strengthen our relationship with you. So that we will know by reason of intimacy with you that the things we are doing are either approved of you or not approved of you. We will not be like the mule that leaves beasts in its mouth, one that is without understanding. Thank you so much, Lord, for all that we have done in our midst today. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. People of God will say,
amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.